White. Armidale, Melbourne, Australia, October 18, 1895. J.E. White. Last evening, I became almost discouraged. I have been suffering for a number of months with exhaustion of brain, and that means exhaustion of the physical organs as well. I thought several times I was climbing the hill of restoration, and then something taxing to my mind would plunge me back into the same nervous prostration and inability to sleep. Friday, I had another pullback, and discouragement came upon me for a little while. Then I said, "This must not be. I must have sleep." I prayed to the Lord for help. I had not decided to go to the Melbourne camp meeting, fearing it might be presumption. But in my wakeful hours, I prayed, "Lord, help me. I am determined to cast my helpless soul upon Thee. Satan is the destroyer. Christ is the restorer. This is Thy word to me. I will try to walk by faith." The appointments have been made for me to go to Sydney, and in order to do this, I must go with my horse and carriage to save any confusion and unfit me to speak. If it is Thy will that I attend the Melbourne meeting, strengthen me to ride 12 miles to Sydney and bear my testimony, and strengthen me to give the dedicatory talk on Sunday. The weakness was so manifestly upon me in the morning that I scarcely knew what to do, but I decided to move out by faith. The difficulty has been to hold up my head, it was so weary and full of pain in the base of the brain. I had not dared to ride out for days until Friday, and then the acute suffering brought upon my head through the rumbling of carriages, the fighting of dogs, and the confusion made me almost wild. As soon as I came back to my home, I crept upstairs, pitifully discouraged. But, after earnest prayer to God, I did decide to ride the 12 miles, and I had the assurance that the Lord would be my helper, that strength would come. The way was long, but I went trusting in God, and while speaking, I received special strength. A change came to nerve and muscle, and to my soul. After I had ceased speaking in regard to grace being always proportioned to the trial God gives us to bear, I was led out to speak upon the faith given all who talk faith and encourage faith. They will have faith, and increasing faith, that will not waver, but remain steadfast, immovable. I presented the coming crisis, and how, if we do not now nourish faith and the grace of Christ, we shall not understand in regard to faith and grace, and how to use them when they shall be most needed, as in the case of the 5 foolish virgins. They had not oil in their vessels with their lamps, therefore they began to seek oil of their neighbors, to get an experience from them, a knowledge of the grace of Christ. They had not felt the necessity of knowing by experience. But the wise virgins could not impart their experience and character to the foolish virgins, for character is not transferable. Each human being is to form character for himself. The Holy Spirit works the human agent, everyone who will be worked. God gives the talent, and the human agent must put to use God's gift and continually gain the true science of education for the future immortal life. God expects everyone to do his best, to improve every God-given ability, by the union of soul with Christ through faith. This union with Christ through faith produces a Christ-like character. Christ's invitation is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. To do great things? No, to be meek and lowly in heart." Matthew 11:28-29. False religion may have a manufactured humility, a pretension, an outside showing, which may be termed humility on stilts. When the time of trouble shall come, then every soul will be tested to the utmost of his capacity. The martyrs were not made in the time of trial by fire and flame. They were enabled to endure for Christ's sake the greater suffering invented by satanic agencies and carried out by human agents. Satan unites man's attributes with his own. He is an accuser of his brethren, a traitor, a betrayer, a thief, a murderer. Satan works through human evil agencies to do harm to their fellow men. Christ's work was to be an example of how every other person upon the earth should work. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Luke 4, verse 16-17. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isaiah 61, verse 1-3. This is the fruit borne upon a good tree. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, verse 15-23. It is not profession, but the character of the works that bears the divine credentials, or else the characteristics of the prince of darkness. It is not enough to hear the sayings of Christ, but to hear with a purpose and be doers of the words of Christ. Please read Matthew 7, verse 24-27, 8:5-13. The centurion felt his unworthiness. He was a man of contrite spirit, although he was a man of authority. He felt unworthy to have Jesus Christ, with his miracle-working power, come under his roof. But his word spoken would be all that was essential. Just as the centurion could say to his soldiers under him, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. Verse 9. He had confidence in the merely spoken words of Christ to restore his servant. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verses 10-12. Matthew 21, verse 42-45. The Jewish nation would not receive their promised Messiah when he came in just the manner prophecies declared he would come. Here was a man, not professedly of Israel, who had not had the opportunities which Israel had abundantly received, who in faith and appreciation of Christ was far in advance of the people of Israel, whom the Lord had made the repository of most sacred, precious truth. Who were Israelites indeed, Jew or Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free? Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1, verse 10, 11. But this Roman, a commander in authority, came to Jesus with most earnest entreaty for one of his servants, sick of palsy, grievously tormented with pain. His faith in its simplicity was a pure, unselfish faith. He asks not of Jesus, "Show me a sign from heaven," but solicits him to work a cure for his suffering servant. He tells him he feels unworthy to have him come under his roof. He who dwells in the high and lofty place, yet will he come and make his abode with the humble and contrite in heart. This humility is honored of God. It reflects light in any place and yet does not know it. It will continue to shine on earth and in heaven without being conscious that it shines. The centurion asked, yes, importuned healing power from Jesus upon a suffering fellow creature. The congregation had the light presented to them in distinction from error. The man studying his Bible with a mind and heart opened to the entrance of that word, communing with God and relying on the Savior, becomes a bright and shining light. Let men receive the light as presented in the Word of God in truth, and there will be a steadfastness of purpose that will enable a man to stand erect in moral independence amid difficulties and danger. A character is formed, barricaded by truth, a character that will abide the day of trial and test before us, however dark may be the pressure, however severe the tribulation, that the day of God's preparation may bring forth. The principle of righteousness works from within outward and makes itself felt. We feel in great need of the Holy Spirit of God in these meetings. The field is the world. The Lord Jesus came to sow the world with truth, and he has committed to his representatives the privilege of being collaborators with God. We need, in these gatherings, to ask of God for that living water that has been provided at infinite cost, that all may be called. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. Monday and Tuesday evenings, Brother Corliss spoke to a goodly company assembled in the tent, and there was good attention given to the words spoken. God grant that the truth may indeed be the power of God unto salvation to those who listen to the word. October 24th. I could not attend ministers' meeting. I have written to you, Edson, several pages when I thought I could not write one page. At 3 o'clock is my appointment for the public services. This is a holiday with horse racing, and there was a tent well filled. More could have found seats, but the congregation was far better than I expected. I spoke from Colossians 1, verse 14. The Lord blessed me in speaking, and I am not sorry I ventured to speak, for several, some not of our faith, expressed to me what good the discourse did them. And one lady, just coming into the truth, said the sermon was a great blessing to her. I thank the Lord for strength that he has given me on this occasion to bear testimony to the truth.